The Reformed faith has long been noted for its love of expository preaching. That concept of working through a book of Scripture, for example, the book of Philippians, and working through it verse by verse, oftentimes word by word, and opening those treasures up, examining each verse as if it was a facet of a gem. And yet there's a drawback in staying in expository preaching that we have to always be aware of, that being sometimes we get so preoccupied with that particular verse, that particular phrase, that we sometimes lose the big picture, and that's to our detriment. I have lived for several years up in the Prescott area, and oftentimes I'm asked to take someone for a tour up to the Grand Canyon. And what a blessing it is to be walking out through the pinyon pines and the shaggy bark junipers with this new arrival, someone who's been entrusted to my care. I remember Jim Adams asked me if I would take Omar Ramos up there, and what a blessing that was to do that. And as you go through the pinyons and the junipers, and you're seeing all these pieces of red sandstone and observing the glory of God's creation, all of a sudden you step out and the panorama of the canyon opens to view, and you may have been looking at a beautiful little piece of sandstone or something like that, and you just drop the sandstone and you go, wow, I had no idea that it was this big. And my prayer this morning is, as we look at these three parables regarding the kingdom of God, the mustard seed parable, which deals with the external growth of the kingdom of God, the parable of the leaven, which deals with the internal growth, that which God creates and brings forth in us, and the seed that is sown in the field, dealing with the mysterious aspects of the growth of the kingdom of God, my prayer is that we would drop that little piece of sandstone and fall on our face before God saying, thank you, Father, I had no idea that it was this big. My prayer this morning is that He give us a glimpse of His glory, because oftentimes, as was pointed out in our bulletin this morning, our thoughts of God are too human. Our concept of His work is way too small. So this morning, if you would, turn with me to Luke chapter 13. And in Luke chapter 13, we'll be reading verses 18 through 21. And then we'll go over to Mark chapter 4. And read verses 26 through 32, and then we'll begin to look at the lesson itself. In Luke chapter 13, verses 18 through 21. Then he said, what is the kingdom of God like, and to what shall I compare it? It is like a mustard seed which a man took and put in his garden, and it grew and became a large tree, and the birds of the air nested in its branches. And again he said, to what shall I liken the kingdom of God? It is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till all was leavened. And then in Mark chapter 4, verses 26 through 32, we'll see the parable of the mustard seed brought forth again, but in a different context. In Mark chapter 4, beginning in verse 26, and he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground, and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how, for the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. Then he said, to what shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what parable shall we picture it? It is like a mustard seed, which when it is sown on the ground is smaller than all the seeds on earth. But when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all herbs and shoots out large branches so that the birds of the air may nest under its shade. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father God, we ask this morning that you would plow up the hardened ground of our hearts, that, Father, any misconceptions we might have would be broken up, and that, Father, you would sow good seed, that, Father, we would grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, that, Father, we would be awed by the magnitude of your kingdom, that we would be humbled by the fact that you love us enough to perform this work in us, that, Father, you have chosen vessels of clay in which to put your treasure. Father, we just praise your holy name, and we ask this morning that you would hide me behind the cross, that, Father, your word would go forth, that, Father, your name would be magnified, and that, Father, your glory would shine forth from your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The lesson this morning is entitled, The Vastness of the Kingdom. The parable of the mustard seed is found in three Gospels. Matthew chapter 13, we see the parable of the mustard seed coupled with the parable of the leaven. In Mark chapter 4, we see the parable of the seed in the field coupled with the parable of the mustard seed. And in Luke, we see the parable of the mustard seed and the parable of the leaven immediately following the crippled woman's healing. The connection in Luke would not be noteworthy except for the word therefore, which we see in the original text. Turn with me, if you would, back to Luke chapter 13. And in Luke chapter 13, we see back in verse 10, it says, Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bent over, and could in no way raise herself up. But when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. But the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. And he said to the crowd, There are 6 days in which men ought to work. Therefore, come and be healed on them, and not on the Sabbath day. And the Lord answered him and said, Hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it away to water it? So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, think of it, for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath? And when he said these things, all his adversaries were put to shame, and the multitude rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. And in the original, it then says, Therefore, he said, What is the kingdom of God like, and to what shall I compare it? It is like a mustard seed. So we see Jesus using the word therefore to link the healing of this woman who had been bound by Satan for 18 years. She was bound. She was unable to fully to stretch out, to enjoy life, to be freed from this illness. And he says, therefore, what is the kingdom of heaven like? And as I said, because he uses this word, therefore, it links this being freed with the revelation of what the kingdom of God is really like. And the reason I point this out is that in Joel Green's work on the Gospel of Luke, he points out that a large portion of Christ's earthly ministry was releasing those who are bound. That was a part of his ministry. And in Luke 13, where we see the woman bound by Satan, by the same sense, the children of Israel were bound by misconceptions and a limited understanding of the kingdom. And oftentimes we as believers are bound by limited understanding, by misconceptions. You say, Pastor, you're going a little bit too far here. You look in Acts chapter 1, verse 6, and remember the disciples came to Jesus and they said, Is it now that the glory will be restored to the kingdom? And And Jesus, in verse 8, says, you will be my witnesses as you carry this gospel to Jerusalem, Judea, and the uttermost parts of the earth. What he was showing them is it's so much more fantastic than a jeweled throne. It's so much more fantastic than an earthly king sitting on this throne. You're looking at a piece of sandstone, and you need to look up and behold the splendor of the Grand Canyon. Earlier we read in Isaiah of the increase of his peace, of his government and his peace, there will be no end. God's word tells us heaven is his throne and the earth is his footstool. Jesus, in reproving the disciples on the road to Emmaus in Luke 34, says, how foolish you are and slow to believe all that the Word of God has said. Folks, we need to understand that our concepts of the kingdom of heaven are oftentimes bound by our own experiences, by our own thoughts. Stop and think back over the years. I remember when I was a youngster, I'd take and crash my bike, which any of you that lived in Phoenix, you know that asphalt road rash that you get when you take your bike for a little tour. And you're a kid and you're crying and you've got your hands are all full of gravel and bullheads. And that's the extent of what you know of pain. And yet you grow up and later on you bury a loved one. Then you go, ah, now I know what pain is. Folks, our grasp of the kingdom of heaven, because we are limited in this earthly body, our grasp of the kingdom of heaven is just a road rash. We have no clue how big, how vast the kingdom is. And that's why I entitled the lesson this morning, The Vastness of the Kingdom, because I pray that God gives us a bird's eye view. We can't examine in detail, but I pray this morning that He gives us a bird's eye view of the vastness of the kingdom of God. May the Holy Spirit lift us to higher ground. The first parable we're going to look at deals with the external growth of the kingdom. Luke chapter 13, in verses 18 and 19, God's word says, then he said, what is the kingdom of God like? And to what shall I compare it? It is like a mustard seed, which a man took and put in his garden, and it grew and became a large tree, and the birds of the air nested in its branches. First thing we need to understand about the kingdom of God is that it is not what we expected. The disciples expected this glorious and immediate ushering in of the kingdom of God. And instead, they got this little bitty mustard seed. It was small. It was inconspicuous. A 3-year ministry of God in the flesh, preaching and teaching about the kingdom, liberating those who were bound, trying to show them the vastness of the kingdom, culminating in a shameful death. Now, if that isn't a small start, I don't know what is. And yet, 40 years after the death of Christ, the gospel had reached every great center of the Roman world, and the mustard plant continues to grow even today. We need to lay hold of the understanding that all we're seeing is only a part of this giant mustard plant, which is called the kingdom of God. We need to understand that as this plant grew, in the parable, we see the mustard plant growing. And we see where Christ says it grows into a large plant in which the birds are able to perch and rest in there. As the kingdom of God grows, saints, God's people, brought out of the darkness and into His marvelous light, are provided safety and lodging. People of every tribe and tongue and people and nation are brought out of the darkness, brought out of the world, and brought to where they can perch and rest and find rest and safety in the kingdom of God. Virtually every other kingdom in the world had been conquered by the sword. And guess what? The kingdom of God, the conquering, is done by the Holy Spirit. God's word tells us, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. And the kingdom of God continues to grow. If you ever want to be depressed, watch the 6 o'clock news. You ever, I encourage you not to, but by the grace of God, you want to be lifted up. Look at what He's doing in His kingdom. The kingdom of God continues to grow even today. The second parable I'd like to look at is the internal growth. The parable of the leaven. And oftentimes we see in Scripture, we see leaven denoting evil. But in this particular passage, we're going to see the working or the mechanics of leaven. In verses 20 and 21 of Luke chapter 13, verses 20 and 21, it's, and again he said, "To what shall I liken the kingdom of God? It is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till all was leavened." 3 measures of meal is approximately 22 liters of flour, or 5 to 6 gallons. So you picture just a pinch of yeast put in a 5-gallon tub of flour or of dough, and how that yeast begins to work its way through the dough. And the picture that Christ was giving to his disciples is a beautiful picture of how the kingdom of heaven begins its work, not externally, not the building of the church, but internally, as God begins to work in us. It's a picture of his work in his elect. You say, "Pastor, I'm not real sure." That would be nice to think about, that God's Word is working its way through me, growing me and sanctifying me. But oftentimes I find that I'm worse off now than I was 20 years ago. If that be the case, praise God. All right? Praise God. Let me give you an example. I do a lot of metal work. I enjoy metal casting. Some of you might be familiar with that. I'll take a bunch of old car pistons, greasy, nasty car pistons, and I melt them down in a crucible. And I get them all melted down, and I skim all the garbage off of the top. And that molten aluminum shimmers. It looks just like mercury. And it just shimmers, and it's beautiful. And then once I've skimmed all of that garbage off the top, it's called drossing the metal. Once I've skimmed all that garbage off the top, I take a material that's called a degassing compound, and I mix it into that molten aluminum. And it begins to just boil and bubble, and all kinds of garbage comes to the surface. Then I skim that garbage off, then the metal is ready to pour. You say, "Pastor, we didn't come here for a metallurgy lesson. Help us out." Folks, as we grow in the kingdom of God, as we grow in sanctification, sometimes we get to thinking we're a little shimmery, we're a little shiny, and we look at our neighbor next to us and go, "Man, he's got a lot of dross to get rid of." And God's Holy Spirit puts that degassing compound in us, and the garbage begins to boil out of us. And he takes us to our knees, and he humbles us, and he shows us how much pollution still hides within us. I read about this. It didn't happen to me. I read about it. I'm kidding you. This is a testimony of what God's done in my life, and I pray that His Holy Spirit does it in your lives, that drossing, that removing of that garbage. That as this, returning to the parable of the leaven, as this yeast works through the life of a believer, as it works through the life of God's elect, it diffuses and it begins to penetrate every aspect. Have you ever noticed how the more we hang on to something, the more God pries our fingers off of it? Like a 3-year-old trying to hang on to an Oreo, we hang on to something and He just pries our fingers loose and He takes it out of our hand. The stewardship of our time, the stewardship of our money, the stewardship of our family, He begins to bring those things under the power of the Holy Spirit, bringing our tongue under subjection, bringing every thought captive, letting go of that foolishness of the world. As that leaven begins to work its way through the loaf, our lives begin to see the influences of the Holy Spirit more and more and more. I love it when my wife and I get to talking, and she's blessed by what God's working in me, because oftentimes I can't see it. Oftentimes I have trouble seeing God's sanctifying work in me because all I see is dross. I look in the mirror and there's nothing but dross. But God's work in us oftentimes is unseen by us, just like that yeast working its way through the loaf is unseen by us. Charles Spurgeon made an interesting observation one time. He said a ship traveling on the ocean, that the passenger on that ship can walk forward, he can walk aft, he can walk from one side of the ship to the other. And it really doesn't matter. The ship will continue its progress to her port. And by the grace of God, if we are His, the ship will continue its progress. We may go forward some days and we may go aft the other days. But by the grace of God, He will bring us safely to the port. I praise Him for that, because if our salvation depended upon us, we'd be washing up on the rocks, every one of us. The internal growth of the kingdom, the work of the leaven in this parable of the leaven in the flour, it's silent, it's invisible, and yet it's steady. My daughter lives up in Alaska, and every once in a while I get to go visit her, and we were up checking out one of the glaciers up there. And it's interesting, this one glacier that we were on moves 3 feet a year. 3 feet a year. And yet, it never slows down, doesn't speed up. It just continues that slow, steady progress, just like the Holy Spirit working in us, continuing that slow, steady progress. And it takes time. It takes time for God's work to be completed, and yet we have to understand it is God that's doing the work, not ourselves. And next, we need to understand this internal growth of the leaven in us. There's no escaping it. If we are truly His, if we are truly His, there is no fighting against the work of God's Holy Spirit in us. Saul of Tarsus kicked against the goads, and yet God broke his heart and drew him with bands of love and showed him the great things that He was going to accomplish in him. Years ago, when I worked for the power company, we had this giant electrician, and he would occasionally fold me up and stuff me in the deep sink or whatever it was. I don't know why he always picked on me, but he would do that. I remember one time I said, "I bet you think you're tough." And that was, I think, right before he put me in the deep sink and turned the water on me. But he used to always tell me, "Chris, there's no use in fighting me. You'll only die tired." And I always, years later, I thought, what a neat example. As God's Holy Spirit works in us, we can either say, "Lord, not as I will, but as Thou wilt," or we can fight Him and die tired. But the end result is God will glorify His name in us. He will glorify His name in us. Now, we have a responsibility. We don't see this in the parable of the leaven, but it's an essential understanding for us. We're to use the means of grace which He gives us to mortify the flesh, that we make that forward progress in the Spirit. And if we resist the Holy Spirit and refuse to rein in our sin nature, God's quick to show us that He has a way of chastising us because He loves us. I believe it was Gardner Spring that said, "God loves us too much to leave us in our idolatry." Folks, that's a mouthful. He loves us too much to leave us in our idolatry. We can hang on to that little Oreo cookie for as long as He wants, but He loves us too much to let us hang on to it. He'll pry it out of our hands. So we've seen in this parable of the leaven, the internal growth, as God works in us as individuals, And we've seen in the parable of the mustard seed the external growth of the kingdom of heaven, the church of God. But one thing that oftentimes we tend to lose sight of is the mystery. How God accomplishes these things in us. And in Mark chapter 4, verses 26 through 32, we see the parable of the seed in the field. And this was also coupled with the parable of the mustard seed. But Jesus was showing us a different aspect of the kingdom of heaven. In Mark chapter 4, verses 26 through 32, it says, "And he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground, and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. For the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come." And then in verses 30 through 32, he brings in the parable of the mustard seed once again. The mysterious growth of the seed in the field. We need to understand that he points out in verse 27 that we don't know how it grows. The Spirit of God begins to quicken an individual. The individual begins to actually hear the gospel. I don't know how many of you came to faith later on in life, but I remember I was in my early 20s and I had heard the gospel a dozen times before. Matter of fact, there was a buddy of mine in high school who used to share the gospel with me on a regular basis, and I did everything I could to dodge him. But as the years went by, and God's Holy Spirit began His work in me, and began to quicken me and make me alive, I could actually hear the gospel. There was actually a cognizance of sin. I don't know how many of you remember back in those days when it wasn't really sin, it was targets of opportunity. But by the grace of God, when He begins to convict us and begins to show us that it is indeed sin and shows us the horrible aspects of our sin, how repugnant it is in His sight. You have that cognizance of sin and you begin to repent for that sin, and you begin to realize that you are a great sinner and that Christ is a great Savior. How this happens, the mechanics of all this, we don't fully understand. We know that it is the work of God. I find it interesting that man, with all his machinery, still can't build the basic building blocks of life. I think that's pretty neat that we can't even build Legos, as it were. May we never lose that wonder, the mystery of the growth of the kingdom of God. But we need to understand that the seed will sprout and the seed will come up. God tells us in Isaiah 43 verses 11 through 13, He says, "I work and who will reverse it?" Can any of us stay the hand of God? I oftentimes thought in my youthful belligerence that I could resist God. Little did I know, I was on that ship, and He was accomplishing His purpose in me, even when I thought I was going the other way. John chapter 6, verse 37, Jesus says, "All that the Father gives me will come to me." What a joy that is, to know that He will accomplish that. And to know that it doesn't come at once, it comes according to God's plan. In Mark 28, Jesus shows us that first it comes the blade, and then it comes the head, and then finally the full grain in the head. When we're looking for repentance in our children's lives, in our loved ones' lives, and we're anxiously looking for God's Holy Spirit to give us a sign that something is happening there, we need to be continually praying, continually obedient to God's word, and knowing that He will indeed accomplish that which He has set out to accomplish. And when the proper time comes, it will be fully manifest. In verse 29 of our parable of the seed in the field, we see the harvest. When the grain ripens, immediately He puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. And I praise God that He knows when that harvest will take place. It's not for us to understand. We're to continue to do the work that He's called us to. But in Matthew 24, verses 30 and 31, He shows us that He will indeed gather together His elect. Even when the world seems like it's spinning out of control, it's all in His hands. What's the application for us as believers? First and foremost, don't get discouraged. That mustard seed plant continues to grow. The kingdom continues to grow despite all the opposition that the world places against the church. And secondly, we need to understand that God delights in using unconventional means. He uses means that you or I would never in a million years have thought of. In 1 Corinthians 15:36, Paul shows us that the seed has to die in order to come alive. And in John chapter 12, verse 24, Jesus says that any seed that abides alone produces no fruit. It has to fall in the ground and die, and then it'll bring forth much fruit. And we have to understand that God's ways are not our ways. And last but not least, we're to walk by faith and not by sight. May God give us the faith. May God help us to mortify that unbelief and to say, even so, Lord, continue growing Your kingdom externally. Continue growing Your kingdom internally. May I never lose the wonder at the fact that it's You that's doing the growth. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father God, we thank You this morning for the opportunity to look into Your Word. Father, we praise Your holy name for that which You're accomplishing in us. Father, glorify Your name in Your church. Glorify Your name in Your people. Father, we thank You that You have not given us what we deserve, but Father, You have shown to us grace and mercy. Father, please continue Your work in Your people. Till that day when You gather us around Your throne and we are singing Your praises. In Jesus' name, amen.